This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:35 in the morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wang Xiaoning and Philip C. We're turning our attention now to the only country that still remains closed because of COVID-19, and that's China. China has seen a sharp increase in COVID-19 cases of late to more than 29,000 per day. And this comes at a pivotal moment as its leaders have to decide whether to dial back gradually on its zero COVID policy or revert to strict curbs that halt the outbreak at the expense of the economy.
Major cities from Beijing to Chongqing and Guangzhou have largely come to a standstill as chains of transmission penetrate apartments, office buildings and shopping malls. But China continues to surprise with economic measures to help the property and infrastructure sector. Just yesterday, China's mega state-owned banks are offering at least 270 billion yuan or $38 billion US dollars equivalent in new credit to property developers as part of the nation's push to ease turmoil in the real estate market.
So how will China make its moves? Is it caught between a rock and a hard place? Can it navigate its way out of this very strange situation that it finds itself in? For some insights, we speak to Alfredo Montufar-Helu, head of the China Center for Economics and Business at the Conference Board. Alfredo, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, in the last few days, we have seen China's COVID-19 daily cases rise to more than 29,000. That's levels near April levels when there was a stringent lockdown in China. This makes it extremely difficult to achieve the aims of its zero COVID policy. Do you think that Beijing will still stick to this policy?
Good morning, and thank you for having me. That's a very good question in light of the recent spike of new cases of COVID-19. But I think that the reality is that the top leadership of the Chinese Communist Party definitely supports this strategy. It is seen as the best way to protect human life. And there is also a concern that if controls are completely relaxed, the ensuing number of new infections could actually lead to a collapse of the medical system, especially in lower tier cities. Now, underlying these concerns, there are several reasons. You have the ongoing mutation of the virus, which leads to the emergence of more aggressive variants. And actually, we are seeing that happening in Singapore and Japan already. And then there is also the fact that the efficacy rates of the Chinese vaccines, the ones that are allowed in China to be distributed, well, that's below the available foreign vaccines. China does not have its own mRNA vaccine yet. And even if we're talking about mRNA vaccines, it has been shown that they are only effective for a limited period of time, which drives the need for continued booster shots. So you also have to consider that. And finally, you have low vaccination rates amongst the elderly in China. So, of course, there are concerns about what would happen if they lift controls.
Okay, let's stay on the topic of vaccinations. Maybe I'm asking an obvious question, but why aren't they actually accelerating it and perhaps using more effective vaccines that are available out there?
Thank you. I mean, that's a very good question because they indeed are having a lot of progress in the development of indigenous domestic mRNA vaccines. But it is true, as you say, that they have not approved the distribution of internationally available vaccines. And it's very difficult to say why. It's very concerning because it could be very easy to approve the use of these vaccines. Part of it has to be political. The fact that approving the use of foreign domestic, of foreign mRNA vaccines could be seen as a acceptance internationally that their strategy of dynamic zero COVID did not work. And you got to understand that from the beginning, they have been saying that their strategy was the best one.
I mean, so then the issue then is really this whole question about the regulations over COVID testing and quarantine, isn't it? If that is really the core linchpin of that dynamic zero COVID strategy, how different or evolved are these regulations now in the past 1 year?
Yeah, so I think that the approach has been optimized. So you saw very recently the new standing committee of the Politburo of the Chinese Communist Party. So that's to say that like the top ranking people in government and the party, they released a series of measures to optimize the approach of COVID because there is a recognition that it is impacting very heavily human life and also economic activity. So this is by no means a softening or a relaxation of measures. It's an optimization. They want to make them more efficient. So, but they will still continue implementing this approach because of the reasons I mentioned before.
Alfredo, now I want to look at some of the announcements that China has made with regard to the property sector. It's obviously concerned about the economy and recently had 16-point measures to rescue the property sector. It's also pushing the state-led infrastructure agenda. Is China likely to push ahead with the growth agenda targeting other sectors as well?
I think they are, but obviously their attention right now is fully focused on preventing more COVID disruption, on trying to stop the spiraling down of the real estate sector, because this is one of the most important drivers of China's current economic headwinds. And it's also trying to, of course, offset the impact to the manufacturing sector, for instance, due to the slowdown of external demand because of a global growth slowdown. So they are implementing a lot of measures to support the economy, but what we are seeing right now in terms of the most recent measures, they're really targeted at, again, optimizing COVID approach and, of course, at helping the real estate sector by making it easier for developers to access financing and also for prospective home buyers to access mortgages.
The question in my mind is, you know, as part of this economic reopening is also this mobility move, right? Just a month ago, we were expecting China to open its borders and relax its quarantine regulations after February when the Chinese Communist Party meets again. Are we over-optimistic that China's borders will reopen proper quarter one next year?
Yeah, I think there was a little bit of a miscommunication there because people thought that China would just relax after the Party Congress. But the reality is that even before, on the weeks preceding the Party Congress, before it happened, authorities were very clear that this did not mean that they were going to relax their approach. And afterwards, they're not going to relax their approach. I mean, for China to relax their approach, we would have to see three main things. First of all, the boosting of vaccination and booster rates, especially amongst the elderly. You would also have to see the improvement of local medical infrastructure, particularly in terms of number of beds, in number of ICU units. And this is especially in lower tier cities. And number three, the increase in the distribution and domestic availability of vaccines with higher efficacy rates, whether it be by accelerating the development of their own domestic mRNA vaccines or by approving the use of foreign mRNA vaccines.
Okay, Alfredo, we know that the Chinese economy is facing an economic kind of a conundrum, but I want to ask about the Chinese themselves. Are they beginning to be more frustrated by this policy flip-flopping and the perceived draconian COVID containment measures?
Well, I mean, I think that if you look at media headlines, there is definitely the message that Chinese society is turning a little bit more anxious, is just getting tired of these measures. It's getting tired of, you know, more than 2 years of on and off restrictions of, you got to understand that every time that restrictions are lifted, you kind of give hope to the market that, you know, things are going to get better. But then you come back and restrict again. And I think that the latest example is how, following the release of these optimization measures in cities such as Sichuan, Guangzhou, Chongqing, and Beijing, authorities started just immediately relaxing the measures. And I think that there was a miscommunication there also between local authorities and the central authorities, because, you know, if in order for you to relax the measures, again, you have to first boost vaccination rates. But then authorities were they went ahead and they started relaxing the measures. And of course, that led to a spike of new cases. And so now authorities are now concerned and they have to revert and impose again the restrictions and the lockdowns. So all this on and off, of course, is stressing. It's just gets them very tired. And mm-hmm. of course, people is just getting, I would say, annoyed with all this.
Alfredo, thank you very much for speaking with us. That was Alfredo Montufarhelu, head of the China Center for Economics and Business at the Conference Board, giving us what's happening over in China, his takeaways, and the measures that need to be put in place before China can even think about reopening safely. It's 7:47 in the morning. We're heading into some messages, and when we come back, we're going to be discussing Sarawak GPS and how they will feature in the new government. Stay tuned for that conversation. BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.